I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. Faubourg Tremé is a little patch of neighborhood just outside of New Orleans' French Quarter. Its houses, once grand, now largely crumbling, have been home to generations of musicians, artists, and plain hard-working black folks. Lola's Eric Eli, a columnist with the New Orleans Times-Picayune, fell in love with the community after buying a falling-down house there. He and documentary maker Don Logsdon turned their lenses on the traditions and characters of the Tremé for a new film called Faubourg Tremé, The Untold Story of Black New Orleans. They filmed for years before Hurricane Katrina hit and edited their story after the storm. Lolas joins me now. Lolas, welcome to News and Notes. Nice to have you on.
My pleasure, Tony.
You know, I know that you bought the house in this historic neighborhood in New Orleans back in the 90s, and you have a fairly strong attachment to the place. That's an understatement, probably. But what was it about the history of this particular corner of New Orleans that compelled you to dig so deep for a film project?
Well, the Faubourg Tremé is part of the old city. It was settled not long after the French Quarter was settled. So if we're going to talk about the real roots, culturally and politically, it's in this area. And even before I knew all the history, just looking at this place, I was clear that it was a different part of America and it had a story to tell.
Homer Plessy, I certainly am one of the people, among many others, who know about the significance of Plessy v. Ferguson. And yet I had no idea that there was a Homer Plessy and that he was from this neighborhood. Tell us about the significance of him.
Well, what people also don't understand is that Homer Plessy was a part of a movement that had been taking place since at least the Civil War to try to bring real democracy and race-blind politics to New Orleans and indeed to the United States. After Louisiana passed a segregation law which outlawed integration in travel, and this was in the 1890s, the Citizens Committee decided that they would take Homer Plessy, put him on in the white section of a car, and try to get that case before the Supreme Court.
Well, and we know that the outcome of Plessy v. Ferguson was the establishment of separate but equal by the United States Supreme Court, which lasted for decades before it was finally overturned. This neighborhood, though, it lost its name later on and became part of the what was called the notorious Sixth Ward and turned into literally a war zone during the crack epidemic. And then Katrina hit. How is the community now?
Well, the other blow that happened was they put an interstate through the middle of the neighborhood. And what has happened is that those parts of the neighborhood that are closest to the French Quarter are coming back. People are moving in. There's some gentrification taking place. But they're also longtime residents redoing their homes. But as you move further in the direction of the interstate, we find that things are not coming back very rapidly.
One of the things that really I found interesting about this documentary was that you and the director, Don Logsdon, were filming and had no idea at the time that you were filming that what you were capturing in the community was going to be reduced to shambles by Hurricane Katrina. There also were some questions about whether or not your own material was going to survive, weren't there?
We managed to get back into the city roughly a week after the storm because our tapes had been saved in a vault, but there was no power in the city, which meant that they were basically cooking in that vault, and the longer they stayed there, the less likely they were to be useful. So we got back in and got the material, but we also realized that while we could not make the movie we intended to make before the storm, we had what could be a far more powerful movie because we had people that we'd been following literally for years and now had an opportunity to see how they had been affected by this tragedy. Don's idea was as soon as possible to meet these people back in the city and get their stories, their post-Katrina stories.
One of those people was the carpenter who was helping you, as I understand it, with the restoration of your home, but lost his own home as a result of Katrina.
Yeah. Mr. Trevine was a carpenter who actually was the great-great-grandnephew of the editor of the first black daily newspaper in America, the New Orleans Tribune. And so in meeting him, we realized we had found someone who both lived the history and could tell it. Because free people of color had dominated the building trades for literally generations. And what we found with Mr. Trevine is that he knew those stories and he knew that history. But of course, like so many other people, he had moved to a low area of town. He was still in still in the city proper, but a whole lot of us found out when the federal levees failed that the area we thought was safe was not as safe as we had believed.
Do you remember the day that you walked in to his? It was his home before Katrina. It was what was left of his home when you guys went in there for the first time.
I remember that day well. Mr. Javine had moved to Vermont to be with his daughter and granddaughter, so they drove back to see the house. And even before we went in the house, he noticed that his truck had been flooded and that his tools were gone. And it was difficult to get into the house because the door had been swollen by the water. You have to understand, at this point, Mr. Trevine was in his late 70s. This is a man who was used to building houses and repairing houses, and had he been a younger man, that might have been a challenge to him. But as an older man who was basically retired before the storm, this was an insurmountable challenge. And so much of his story is the story of elderly New Orleanians.
When I looked at his face, it looked literally as if the life just seeped out of it.
That was the feeling that we got sitting there. After he had gone into the house, we sort of sat there and kind of cleaned up a little bit and talked, but there wasn't a whole lot to say.
And he didn't live much longer, did he?
No. He went back to Vermont, discovered that he had cancer, and died probably 6 or 8 months after that. One of the things that's very difficult to convey to outsiders is the extent to which heartbreak played such a physical, tangible role in people's decline after the storm, and that certainly people had ailments that may have been bothering them even before the storm, but it seems that the psychological and emotional toll of the failure of the levees really was that much more exacerbated. You find people who may have had blood pressure problems all their life suddenly dying of strokes. And we in New Orleans believe firmly that that was because of the pressures brought about as a result of the hurricane and the failure of the levees.
Is that why some people refer to this documentary as a requiem?
Indeed. I mean, we like to refer to it more as a love poem for the city, because much of what we really focus on is not the storm at all. A lot of it is to tell you about how important this neighborhood was, to give you some sense of what it feels like to be in the middle of a street parade in the Faubourg Tremé, give you a sense of what our musicians are dealing with and talking about, give you some sense of what people are writing about. We hesitate to call this a Katrina film. It really is a love poem to New Orleans.
Lolas, thank you very much.
Tony, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Lolas Eric Eli. He is a columnist with the New Orleans Times-Picayune and the writer and co-director of the new documentary, Faubourg Tremé, The Untold Story of Black New Orleans.